Blog Talk Radio.
While rescue teams have been able to recover some wreckage from the plane, none of the bodies have been found, and the rescue efforts are...
No required a medical procedure to rectify damage which resulted to his right leg. On becoming aware of this matter, the director of the National Insurance Scheme was contacted to see what, if any, assistance could be provided for the injured officer. On his behalf through the medical aid scheme at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. But the Home Affairs Ministry was informed that he did not qualify for assistance under that scheme. In spite of this,
The good is often interred with their bones, so let it be with Hector.
I have no record of evil in the life of Jim Hector. Maybe mischief, but no evil. Let the catalog of his goodness be interred with his bones.
All right. Well,
whose achievements were ignored.
It's time to talk cricket in relation to the West Indies. Of course, they are in Sri Lanka, and in the warm-up match they lost, we want to look at that. We also want to look, of course, at what's been happening in regional cricket. Barbados are doing very well. They've extended that lead, and it looks very much as if the Bajans can very well go on to win the championship this year. Of course, the Guyanese will want to have something to say about that. And on this program this evening, we want, of course, to have a look, a serious look at the regional competition. A little bit later on the show, we want to go to Sri Lanka and talk to Raw Lewis, who is, as you know, the manager of the West Indies side. And he's got some very interesting things to say. But without any further ado, let's go to Jamaica and talk to Orville Higgins. As you know, do we have Orville Higgins on the line? Okay, but let's try and get Orville Higgins back on the line. We're going to try and work that out for you. But as you know, O'Shane Thomas got involved in an accident a couple of days ago. And we want to go to Jamaica and talk to Orville Higgins about that. And, of course, Jamaica, in relation to the regional competition, after being the last two matches they played, they actually won. And it's really good as far as they're concerned in relation to the championship. You got Orville on the line. Orville Higgins, hello, and how are you this evening, sir?
How are you, Sir Andrew?
I'm okay, and you?
Well, I've had better days, but I'm hanging on in there.
All right. Now, first of all, what's the latest on O'Shane Thomas?
The last we heard is that he was recuperating at home. We heard that he had no really serious injuries. Former national batsman Mark Neeta is some kind of a mentor for O'Shane Thomas, and he has been in the media saying that he's expecting to be back in training within a few days. So it means he's past the worst.
What happened, though? Can you tell us what happened? What did you hear?
Well, I've heard conflicting reports. One report I've got is that he blew out a tire coming back from Clarendon, where he went to look for his parents. But I've heard another report that it was a collision with another vehicle. I'm not sure which is the story. I've heard both.
Okay. Well, let's wish him well. I suppose a lot of talk in Jamaica about it.
Yeah, well, because it doesn't appear that he suffered any serious injury, which is not really created any major buzz. People are happy that he's okay, but it hasn't really created any major stir because he came away from it pretty unscathed.
Right. Now, let's look quickly now at Jamaica. What a turnaround. In fact, the last time we spoke on this show, there was a lot of talk about Jamaica. They were last, actually, but you won. You defeated the defending champions in Guyana. Then you went to Trelawney, your favorite place, and you defeated the Leewards. What's gone right for Jamaica? Tell us about it.
But, the interesting thing, Andrew, is that both those games that they scored on them on 10 games, the one against Ghana, we won by seven or eight runs.
Very, very close indeed.
Threatening to hit off the score.
Mm-hmm.
The one in Trelawney is the most exciting finish I've ever seen for a regional four-day game. Why the turnaround, I don't know, but certainly in that Trelawney game, it was a great team effort with most people chipping in. We were asked to get 130 yards in something like 18 overs.
Mm-hmm.
And Nkrumah Bonner played, I think, the best innings I've seen him play. And he was almost Carlos Brathwaite-like in that final over, hitting, well, it wasn't the final over on the books, but the light was so dark that who knows? Many of us suspected that we wouldn't have had the two overs that were scheduled to be bowled after that. And then Nkrumah Bonner was taking no chances. Hit three consecutive sixes, then a four, and then a two. I think we needed 23-24 from that over, and he got them.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore didn't put his team in a position that made an impact when I was called the night after that.
Mm-hmm.
Why the turnaround? It's difficult to say, but we're third in the ranking and playing much better than we did at the start of the season.
As far as the batting for Jamaica is concerned, Blackwood has been doing pretty well, 385 runs. And also you have Bonner and Palmer, as well as Campbell, chipping in a bit. Tell us about the heart of the Jamaican batting and the development of Bonner, Palmer, and, Blackwood is making a resurgence.
It's hard to be critical of Blackwood. Let's start with Blackwood. Hard to be critical of somebody who, as you said, has one of our 300 runs. But he's now got 270s and 80-something and a 98. He has not scored a central for Jamaica in quite a while. Getting big half centuals is one thing, but those of us who want him to be knocking on West Indian selection again, we don't want him to get 100. He was a 98. He got a slower delivery from Berridge. He completely played around it. But he batted well. And he also batted well in that second innings, getting a quick fire, 38, I think it was. Nkrumah Bonner, I think, has always been one of the more talented technical players, not only in Jamaica, but around the region. This season, he's showing it. He's as organized and as technically sound as most people have ever seen in regional cricket. And I think he's batting a little bit too low. Yesterday, he batted at 4 in that game, and he was batting at number 5 for most of the season. He's had, 3 knockouts out of maybe half a dozen or 7 innings. But in terms of technical acumen, there aren't too many other people better than Nkrumah Bonner when he's on sun. So he's looking good. John Campbell has scored 100 at the top of the order as the captain. But for my money, a little bit too irresponsible to ask. John Campbell is, again, oodles of talent, especially against the Pacers. Not the best player of spin that goes around. But for me, just gives his wicket away a little bit too easily, too often. He is the senior West Indies player on that team and also the captain. And at times, I think he can be, just a touch irresponsible in the way he goes about things. The good thing about it is that the Scorpions are also getting matching contributions from all the order. Derval Green, who opens the bowling at times, has got 2 half centuries. Pete Salmon scored an important 40-odd in the first inning of that game. Dennis Smith, the keeper, also got, I think, about 70-odd, 80-odd. There are some contributions later as well.
Mm-hmm. Gordon, 17 wickets. Harty, 16 wickets. And Green, 13 wickets. I don't think everyone will be familiar with them. Can you tell us about their bowling styles and, their abilities with the ball?
Right. Nicholson Gordon is a pace bowler that has now taken 3 5 wicket balls. But the interesting thing with Gordon, he played the last game of the season last year against Trinidad. He took 9 wickets in the game. For some reason, they didn't start it this when we were playing against the same opposition at the same place. Missed out on that game, but he has come back and taken 2 5 wickets. He took 1 at the minor and 1 in the game against Trinidad. He's tall, he has good pace, and does get the ball to do a bit. He surprises you with a very steep bouncer. He did bowl a ball to Nevin Summer on a flat deck in this particular game against Killarney. That is probably the ball of the season for me. Rearing on for length and pulling Nevin Summer's one batting well had absolutely no answer. So he's not a young bloke by any means, but has not had too many opportunities in this Scorpion side. But he has pace, has height, and at times gets steep bounce from a length. Patrick Harty has been regularly one of the top wicket takers in Jamaica. Left arm orthodox, relatively tight, does loop the ball a bit, spin it when the occasion warrants, but for some reason wasn't always in the side. Maybe because of a fellow called Nikita Miller over the years. He has had limited opportunities. Now that Nikita Miller is no longer there, he is playing the role that Nikita Miller would have played. He goes up an end and is also able to get wicked. Who was the other name you mentioned?
We also mentioned Green.
Derval Green.
Yeah.
Derval Green is one of the best outswing bowlers in regional cricket. Don't get the ball to shape away from the right-handers. Like, but some reason is not always the same quality bowler, the left-handers. But against right-handed bowlers, his natural shape away is great. So sometimes I think a little too experimental. When he gets the new ball, there's a school of thought in Jamaica that he's not a natural new ball bowler. He was a batsman when he was playing youth cricket, who could bowl, and his career has metamorphosized to the point where he's now a bowler who can bat. But at maybe about 5'8", he's not your typical fast bowler, and the school of thought here is in Jamaica is that he really should be your first team, playing the role that David Bernard Jr., for example, play, where he's coming behind the two pace bowlers, bat 6-7 in the order, and can contribute useful runs there. Because he's had to be opening the bowling, sometimes I think he tries to be too hard to be a open out tear away fast bowler. Has suffered more injuries than he should. He was injured in actual innings, by the way, with a shoulder injury. And from time to time has missed games due to knee injuries and that kind of thing. High quality when he gets it right. And he's also a pretty decent batsman. In fact, there are still those who feel that his batting is at least as good as his bowling in regional cricket. And he doesn't have the figures necessarily batting wise, but the show for it. He has had two offenses this season, though. Decent all around in the making. And a very, very valuable member of the team.
You would have thought Min Lee would have really taken on and shouldered your attack. Only 3 matches with 8 wickets. Is he injured, or what's happening with Min Lee?
My feedback is not injured. If you look at Min Lee's career, Min Lee has played, well, certainly at some stage before the season, he would have played, I think, 30 first class games with 60-something wickets. And I think 28 of those wickets was last year when he was playing for the Barbados Pride. So he really doesn't take a handful of wickets when he plays, except for last year when he had a very good season. Again, one of those bowlers in regional cricket that does have glory balls. When he gets it right, he can produce pearls, but not consistent enough. He can bowl at a genuinely spell one inning, but then it's there and there about the other. I would have still have him in the setup, certainly with a contention to play. But the selectors have gone for others, including Gordon, who I think deserves his place. And because they wanted 2 spinners and what they felt is a flat fuller on the deck, they went only with the 2 pace bowlers and went back to and Harty. And they bowled out Guyana with 3 spinners.
Mm-hmm.
They came back to Trelawney with 2 spinners and 2 pace bowlers, bowled off Neymar twice. So they may well feel that having a 3rd pacer may not necessarily be the way they want to go. But I don't know what they're going back to Trelawney for their next game.
Mm-hmm.
And if it looks as flat as it did in that last game, then Min Lee may struggle to make the team.
Just one final question. I understand you had about 10,000 people watching there at Trelawney. Is that true or no?
Maybe on the YouTube feed, and
but was there a crowd at all? Orville?
It was disappointing because I didn't think that the JCA did as well as they could in promoting the game. I mean, that's one of the things about West Indies cricket that I don't know what it is like in the other parts of the region, but certainly here in Jamaica, there was very little promotion. People didn't know that the game was going to play. But they were a smallish crowd, not very vocal, very vociferous, and they really got behind the team and the Scorpions' victory. Feeling light on day 4 was egged on and boosted by
a small. Fading light. Was it really good to play in?
It was dark, Andrew. The game finished after 6 o'clock Jamaican time.
Let me ask the question, Orville. Let me ask the question. Do you think this should be playing when Jamaica won?
No, man. It was playable, but dark.
What do you mean by that?
It was
playable,
not the best of light. It was not the best of light by the time the game ended, but it was playable.
All right. Fair enough. Orville, well, I know it's dark. Is it dark now in Jamaica? I don't think so. But it's getting dark here in Barbados. I want to thank you for coming through and talking to us. We were hoping to talk to John Campbell, your captain, for a short interview, not only about the success, but, of course, you know, he's getting ready possibly to go to England. Do you have him in your squad to go to England, Orville?
The thing about it, Andrew, is that there are not too many openers doing particularly well. John has already had 100. He has not really set the place afire. But if you look around the region, except for Devon Smith, and I think Tajdar and Chanderpaul is scoring a few as well. But
right.
the openers are just not setting the place ablaze. And young one Craig Brathwaite seems as if he forgot.
He struggles. He's been struggling.
So John Campbell may just keep his place as much because of what he did. Remember, he got a half century on his last tour to, where was it? Afghanistan?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. But he's there as much for that as by default because nobody else is not doing too much.
Okay. Well, Orville, enjoy the rest of your evening.
All right, boss. Big up to you and your guest.
All right. Good. Fine. Talking about your guest, a young man alongside me is coming to the studio. Nine Young. Hello, Nine. How are you, my friend?
Hey.
Introduce yourself with that big voice that you've got. Everything is good with you?
Yeah, all is well. How are you?
All right. Well, it's really good to have you in the studios. I'm sure you're hearing them loud and clear. Nine Young, of course, is a young Barbadian who would have gone to the Under-19 World Cup only recently, and one of two West Indians who really made the grade. You've got Sales with you as well, and I really want to maybe see if you can make some contact with him. But we're going to spend a couple of minutes with you. You can certainly stay with us for the rest of the program. How are you feeling? Are you okay? Good to be back in Barbados?
Yeah, happy to be home. I've been on the road for a while, the last 2 months, December and January.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to be home. Have some really good times on the road. And I'm just happy to be home again.
No, talk to us about the tournament. Are you disappointed overall that the West Indies didn't go on to win everything?
Yeah, certainly disappointed. I think we lost one game of the six, and teams that finished ahead of us lost more than one game. So I don't think fifth did us well, but we should have done a lot better, and it comes back to us, but we learned from it.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at the game you lost. I mean, where did you think the West Indies lost the game? Against New Zealand, you were certainly in a good position. 2:38, New Zealand, Larry Mayers was on the radio saying, look, this is all over. 1:53 for eight, and New Zealand got home. What happened there?
Yeah, I think some decisions on the field were favorable for us, and I think that's where we lost it. We have plans and we have specific borders for certain situations, and I think in that situation it was going back to what we normally do where Matthew and I would bowl out to death. But it didn't work out that well this time, and I think, as I say, we will learn from it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. How disappointed you were about that? Because, I mean, I was watching the television. Dr. Ford called me and said it's about time for us to go and have a big drink of water. And, you know, all of a sudden, 1:53 for eight then became 1:60 for eight. And like Ian Bishop kept screaming and saying, look, this game is not over. Then all of a sudden, it was then, 1:80 for eight, then 1:90 for eight, then 200 for eight. And the Caribbean then became still. Very, very still about that. You must have been very disappointed. At any stage, you felt that really and truly you could have tightened the screws and gone up to one?
Yeah, I think we made some mistakes in decision making. I think Seals should have come back earlier, but he didn't in the end. But I think, as I said, we learned from it. We had some guys that bowled some really good spells in that game and brought us back into the game. And then I think, as I said, decision making was our downfall.
Mm-hmm. What about the overall tournament, though, in terms of your own success? You had a pretty good time. What about the conditions? You like the conditions there in South Africa? Or they were tough?
They were a bit different. We expected to have fast, bouncy wickets, a good carry, and a lot of square wicket stroke play.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we were practicing for the last 2 years within camps and that kind of stuff. And then to get there, the wickets were quite slow. But I think we adjusted well because wickets in the Caribbean now are generally slow and a bit low, and that's how the wickets played in South Africa, and I think we were able to capitalize on that.
Yes, it seemed to be a tournament of two halves for you. You were on a tear, a big contributor with bat and ball at the beginning, but then tailed off at the end. In some of the innings after, you were in an attacking mode, maybe what the team wanted, or maybe wanted to press home and dominate. What do you think happened with your batting and with your bowling in the second half of the tournament?
I think I take a lot of risk in my batting and my bowling, and I think the risk paid off at the beginning of the tournament. Obviously, being a known factor against a lot of teams that have been in tournaments, such as England and Australia. They will know my strengths, my weaknesses, and I think it's easy to... And knowing what kind of guy I am and temper that I have is just to be aggressive, and that's my role in team. And I think guys just work me out, and yeah.
So what's your favorite position to bat in that you think is ideal for your type of game?
Mm-hmm. I think I wanted to bat a bit early in the squad.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been nice to bat around 5 or 6 because I think I could dominate within the middle overs. Especially, I could take on the more senior boys within the squad and take less pressure off the batsmen coming after me. But in the situations that I batted a bit lower than that, and my role was just basically the same role I would have done if I batted at 5. But with less batsmen coming behind me, I had to be very selective with my stroke play, and I think I wasn't able to express myself as much as I wanted to if I batted a bit higher. But still happy that I was able to contribute with the bat.
The first match against Australia, they were two runouts, fortune in cricket, you know, that's the type of runout that you don't like to really get where it hits the bowler's hand and you're out of the crease, and we benefited from that. The fifth place match, Australia put on a really big score. The rain came. What was the feeling in the camp chasing such a big score for the fifth place?
We were really happy to chase that score, actually.
Really?
I think after it was quite disappointed to obviously to have to chase 300, but after we got back in the dressing room, a lot of boys were really excited about that to go and chase a score like that, which we weren't really finding, and like cricket boys being happy to chase 300.
Really?
But I think a lot of boys in the dressing room were very happy, and Melius went out there and he was destined to get us like a start. Captain took responsibility, so that was good, and that's how they told the same dressing room, and we really wanted to pursue that. It was something that we could learn from again, and that's how we saw it, and we were quite disappointed that the rain came, because we thought we could have chased that down.
On the bowling side, we talked a lot about your batting on the bowling side. What are the skills, and you know, what is your stop ball? What are the things you would really are able to do now, and what things you'd like to be able to do in the future, bowling wise?
In a way, when I started last World Cup for West Indies in 2018, I was the opening bowler, and I was above 85 and bowling that kind of speed. And now at this World Cup, I'm just bowling 70 a bit and low 80. So the focus has really gone.
All right. Just for your thoughts, we got a lot of time for you this evening.
Okay.
We're going to be here until 2 o'clock, so don't you worry. We want to try and make some rounds, of course, across the Caribbean. We promised to talk quickly to John Campbell. We also want to talk to Dennis Ramden as well. He's concerned to come to the show. We also want to touch base with the manager of the Barbados team. Let's go and talk to John Campbell. John, are you in as well? Hello, John.
Yes, I'm here. Good
evening to you. Well, first of all, congratulations on that very big win you had against the Leewards there at Trelawney.
Thanks, man. Thanks a lot.
All right. What was responsible for the win?
I think we bowled really well, especially on that last week. I think they had a big partnership of our own, over 100 runs.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we got the breakthrough, and after the breakthrough, we really pressed for more wickets.
Right.
And then Bonner's knock was amazing, man. It was really something to witness.
How good was Bonner's knock? Orville Higgins was with us earlier, and he spoke about it. How good was that knock?
It was really well, man. He really pierces in his very well. It took a while. When he got set, he really took the bowlers apart.
Yes, yes. And the conditions at Trelawney, were they good for batting?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably one of the flatter wickets that we've played in the season so far.
How do you compare the Trelawney wicket with the pitch at Sabina Park? Is it similar?
Well, the pitch at Sabina Park has a lot of grass.
Right.
Trelawney is no grass at all.
No grass at all?
No grass at all.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what about your own form, though? Dr. Ford, who's my co-host, you've got the stats there on John Campbell. John, are you happy with what you've done so far? You could do a lot better in the regional competition.
Well, for sure, I'm not where I'd like to be at this point in the season. But having said that, I think I've been batting well, just that I haven't been getting big scores consistently.
I see.
Yeah, Campbell, 5 matches, 10 innings, 274 runs, averaging 27.4. But you got 101, and no 50. So you seem to have had plenty and times of scarcity. And during your international career, we've seen you compile some scores of 30, 40 odd, and not getting to the half century or going beyond. Do you think that there's something preventing that from happening, or has it just been that you've been unfortunate thus far?
Well, coming into this season, my main focus was to score big runs whenever I get a start. I try to make it count as much as possible. Having said that, I think I only got one score over 50 this season, and that's the 100. It's just me having to focus now and getting a start, and whenever I get a start, man, I really make it count.
Do you think that your attitude, that the crease, the aggression, you're very attacking in your approach? Do you think that you need to temper that initially and then blossom later, or do you think you're on the right track right now?
Well, I've been trying to temper that aggression earlier, being more selective, I'd say. I think that's key for me, in being selective in my shots. I think that I've been doing pretty decent at that so far in the season, just that I haven't been getting started.
I see. What about your captaincy? Are you happy with how it has gone so far? Is it a difficult job to captain Jamaica?
Well, it was a tough start. We drew the first 2 games, and then we lost to Barbados.
Yeah.
I think we bounced back pretty well in the last 2 games before this break.
Take us to Guyana. What a game, what a close match there. In fact, you on the third afternoon looked very much as if you were going to win it. Guyana chasing what was it, 180 odd, 11-33 for 9, and then they got closer and closer, and the game actually went into the last day.
Well, Permal always scores runs against us.
He does, huh?
He find a really good partner in Ken Joseph. He was just defending his wicket, and Permal was taking the opportunity to get runs whenever he could. They batted really well, but I have to give credit to our bowlers. We didn't make it easy for them.
And in the end, you came through and won. That was a very important victory, John.
Well, definitely, yeah. Especially beating that. Since I made my first class debut, that's the first time that We've beaten Guyana in Guyana.
Really? And when did you make your debut?
Back in 2014.
2014, that's a long time. Now, just before you go, no doubt you're looking forward to end the season strong and go to England with the West Indies side.
Well, definitely. Still have five rounds of games left. Having a good last end of the season will do. The one that's coming on. It will have my confidence a lot as well.
Right. And I know the Jamaican people are very much behind you when you were losing. This happens, you know, when you're not doing very well. They will get on your back. But you've won the last 2 matches, and you've actually climbed in terms of the standards, because the Scorpions are now in third position with 57.4 points. Barbados ahead, 84.2. The Jaguars, 60.8. Can you make a late surge possibly in the championship?
Well, don't really want to get ahead of ourselves. But
fair enough.
We need to be consistent as we've been over the past 2 games. I think if we'll be consistent enough, then we could really make a push in these last 5 games.
Right. Well, John, I want to thank you for coming through and talking to us. It's good to hear from you, and we hope to speak to you a little bit later on in the season.
Thanks, man.
All right, there you have it. So we spent some time in Jamaica. Of course, we want to make some stops across the Caribbean. What a terrible performance by the Leewards. 5 matches. They've lost 4. We want to hear what's going on with them. And they defending champions losing two matches. This is unusual. They find themselves in second position. We really want to go and talk to their captain a bit later on. And of course, we also want to have a focus on the Sri Lanka tournament. As I said, a little bit later on, they're going to be playing an interview that I done that I did earlier. Very good interview, I thought, coming through there with the actual manager of the West Indies side. Let's pause for business calls. Mason and Guest is brought to an association with the regular office doctor. I think of it this year.
Yeah, it's only halfway through the tournament. Barbados had a stumble at the start, but have improved quite a lot. And the batting, which was one of the weaker areas, has started to improve a little bit. Good to see Mosey get a big 100 there, 155 not out. That really helped us to beat Trinidad. And Stout has come back in and given some useful contributions when the side's in trouble. And Maris has been having quite a good season. Dowrich, tons of ability, seems to score easily, and he's been in pretty good nick. And Kemar Roach always comes in and bats responsibly, one of the best lower order batsmen in the Caribbean for sure. Craig Brathwaite was doing a little more, but from listening to the radio, I think he was a bit unlucky. I guess
you can
comment on that a bit more.
Played no shot, the ball cut back, would have missed, I think it would have gone over comfortably. I thought it was a pretty hard decision he got.
Yeah,
but things happen.
Yeah, that seems to happen.
He looked much better in the second innings, I thought.
Yeah, well, I guess with time, it's a good thing that the season is a bit long, and he'd get some more chances to do some work. Shamar Brooks has had a big 100 as well, but again, the consistency, they can all improve, and I'm sure they'll be working towards that. You know, in the batting, the two young fast bowlers have been really doing wonders for us. Holder with 24 wickets and Harding with 23, and Harding getting 2 5 wicket hauls in the last match, and everybody else coming in. It was quite interesting to hear Harding mention the mentorship of Roach, and I think this does augur well and shows that having someone with experience can benefit a side. And I'm really glad that Kemar is trying to offer some of his skills and advice to the team, because Kemar is probably the most gifted fast bowler in terms of bowling skills that we have in the Caribbean right now. And if the guys can learn some of the things Kemar can do, then it'll augur well for the future. And I think that generally we have to look at our fast bowlers and the skill set, especially going on tour to places like England and to New Zealand and going abroad. We're going to have to be able to do things with the ball. I guess we have to ask ourselves, have we seen a development in our fast bowling complement that we would expect over the last several years? The international players, have the left armers been able to straighten the ball and threaten the stumps for the LBW or the bowl? That's something that we have to look at going forward.
Okay, let's go to Trinidad and Tobago and talk to someone that you know very well, good friend of yours, Mervyn Dillon. He's dropped out again? All right, we really need to solve that. All right, we're going to try to make that connection in terms of getting to Mervyn Dillon.
But Andrew, as far as the match is concerned, you were there. How did things go at the Oval last
Well, match? I thought a lot of credit must be, and we're going to talk to Wendell Coppin soon, but a lot of credit must go to Barbados. First of all, it was a very good toss to win.
Mm-hmm.
Had Barbados won the toss, they would have certainly bowled first.
Yeah.
Barbados were 47 for 6.
Yeah.
The lower order
was scary.
Rallied. They made 209. Then Trinidad and Tobago, the Red Force was 72 for one. Mm-hmm. Then that went to 88 for six, all for 175. So it was a very, very, very good performance by the Barbados team. Young Harden bowled very well. Also, Holder, who I would imagine his ticket has already been bought. There's no doubt about that. He looks good. He's been very aggressive. He started against when he played for the West Indies against India. He looks very good. Harden is bowling very well. And I also want to say, too, as well, that I've seen a difference in an approach in terms of aggression coming from Captain Brathwaite. I'm satisfied that from what I've seen so far, it seems to be improving. I see a little bit more aggression in the steel placing, and that's good for me. And Barbados, I think, and I say this, I think, with that kind of lead, they've got to play against the Volcanoes at home after a week's break. They could go on to win the championship. And it looks to me like a side that really wants to win the championship. They played very well so far, having lost in the first round to the Volcanoes.
Well, certainly on paper, it's a side that has a lot of ability. You also would mention that Boyce, the young spinner, who did so well in the last match and had a 5-6 wicket haul, wasn't able to make the side this time, and you commented on it, but I guess they went for the experience in this case, and Boyce didn't make it, but the Barbados side seems to have a lot of room and a lot of good talent in reserves, and if they perform to their full potential, they should be able to do very well in the tournament.
Naeem, are you part of the setup since you've been home? Are you practicing with the Barbados team?
No, I've taken it a week break, but before that, I was having some sessions with them when the weight ball stuff was going on, but hopefully we can start practicing with them from next week.
Mm-hmm. Are you a contracted player?
No, I'm not contracted.
Okay. All right. Doc, can you talk to Conde?
Yeah, I'm sure Conde is trying to increase the economic base to help more players and to expand, you know, the contracted players. You know, it's something to look at. Now that you're looking at all of these young, talented, fast bowlers, you mentioned Holder, you mentioned some of the others. I think Cricket West Indies has to look to find a way of keeping these players remunerated so that they can work on their game and continue to develop in the franchise and other systems.
All right. Let's go quickly to Trinidad and Tobago and talk to Dinesh Rambin, who was here only a couple of days ago with the Red Four side. Good evening to you, Dinesh. How are you?
Good evening. I'm fine, thank you.
Good, okay. In terms of the match against Barbados, you would have been disappointed with the result in the end, losing to Barbados in a big way?
Yeah, definitely. Playing against a good bowling lineup like that, I think they had everything planned in terms of what they wanted to do in having a pretty green wicket. With the team aircraft they have, they utilize the condition quite nicely. But I think, we just let them off the hook in the first innings where they were 50-6. We dropped too many catches, and our guys went on, especially in the second inning, we were mostly on 60, and he made 160. That extra 100 runs would have been different.
Dinesh, have you ever seen Kensington before with so much grass on it?
Well, I haven't seen it with so much grass, but for the younger players who on our team, they were quite surprised. They weren't expecting how it was going to play. I find it was a very challenging pitch in terms of, the uneven bounce. There was not much sideways movement, so just the up and down bounce. So if you was a batter, go out there and, you're not sure what's going to bounce, what's going to keep low. So you always tend to be in two minds all the time.
Yeah, so this is a bit unusual because you've played here at Kensington Oval on many occasions, and before, are you suggesting the pitch would have been much better?
Yeah, I don't mind the draft on the wicket or just the bounce. I suppose a lot more even would have been a proper cricket wicket. Talking to the Bajon guys, they find it very difficult for few guys coming in, once they put the ball in a particular area, you get results. Very intensive that. For a period of time, we get wickets for them, with the lack of experience in our bowl lineup, guys tend to bowl a lot of half volleys and wide balls, and that kicks the batter. A lot of challenging deliveries.
Yeah. Good night, Dinesh. You've only played two matches so far in the tournament. Are you fit, or have you just been unavailable for some of the matches?
Well, I was, banned for the first two games due to the incident that took place last year against Barbados in Barbados.
Okay.
So, and then, that incident took place, and so they said I was banned for two games. And I find it was difficult for me in terms of if that would happen, we should have been the two games after that rather than starting a new season and having two games to get banned. You know, when you play at the international level, you get banned. You have to play the next two games right after.
Yeah.
And we had like four or five games and whatever, it matters or people in charge of WITV in that area, I find that they dealt with it quite differently. But the back home here, it's a lot challenging now with our selectors, and you know they're not respecting our senior players in terms of asking them their availability. They're doing their own thing basically, because I just got a phone call that I'm not selected for the next upcoming game. So I was quite shocked and surprised about that one.
Mm-hmm. So you think you have a communication problem there with back home? Yeah, they're not keeping in touch with you,
so,
you know?
Yeah, it seems so. Not only myself, you know, Rafi Rampoli was available for the whole season. And they just bypassed him, and he has no future just in cricket. But when you look around, there's no one who can bowl as good as this guy. He will help the younger players. He did it a few games last year first.
Well, I know Cricket West Indies is a new dispensation wants a lot of communication between players and selectors, and players to understand what's happening, so there wouldn't be animosity and tension. So that's unfortunate.
They will call you and let you know when you get dropped, but when you get selected, you have to read it in the news. So
really?
It's very disrespectful.
We hope to get Tony Gray on a little bit later on. He's the chairman of selectors. Have you spoken to Tony?
Yeah, he just messaged and said I need to play some club cricket. I said, for what's the reason? I'm not the only player how I've failed in the four games or five games I've gone. So he couldn't find a reason. He said, beginning of the season, you need me to bat and keep. So I said, okay, I'll do that position. Now I'm batting and keeping. Just one game, because the game is convinced Dominic had that rain out. So I can't see the problem.
Okay.
Not me myself, but yeah. Younger players who should be on the team, they're just getting rid of them.
Keep going, Dinesh.
Keep going, Dinesh.
I'm not sure what message they're sending to the younger players, because at the moment the dressing room is not a comfortable place.
Ooh.
You have players who think if you get a low score, you're going to be out the next game.
Whoa.
So guys are not comfortable in the game. They're scratching here, they're scratching there. They're wondering, you know, if I don't get picked, if I don't make runs this game, I'm going to the next game. So it's a hit and miss situation right now.
This certainly is not good news at all for the spirit of the team, Dinesh.
Yeah, it's not good. Any senior player there right now is young Jason Mohammed, and a lot of pressure is going to be him in the batting department. He spoke to me this evening as well. He's disappointed. I think they brought back Imran Khan to strike him the bowling. So he was one player who was out for a while. They haven't contacted him to ask him how he was doing with his rehab and stuff like that. So we are at the bottom of the table now. So I don't know what they're trying to do. What bowlers, what players, what backman, what combination. You know, they're using guys up the order. Now they're dropping guys down the order. So they're trying to facilitate certain guys, so that they'll keep their averages above a certain number, so the selectors could have a look at them.
This really is not good. Dinesh, would you want to captain the Trinidad and Tobago team?
If I wanted to?
Yeah,
I wanted to do it one more season because of the younger players that we have to guide them in the right path. You know, that's what we're lacking in the Caribbean at this point in time, the guidance of the younger players to do certain things. But our coach at the moment, I don't think he wants me around.
But you're saying your coach doesn't want you around? Is it? That's a serious.
Yes.
Why is that though?
It's plain and simple. I believe he just wants a young group of guys that keep on the case and use them to go forward. But this for the tournament, he can't use that. He needs senior players around the setup, so that when pressure takes the team, you'll be able to handle it a lot better.
What has he said to you, though, to make you think that he doesn't want your own?
We don't speak. We don't speak eye to eye.
So you're saying that and your coach is Mervyn Dillon, and you're saying, Dinesh, y'all don't talk at all, and you only communicate with the chairman of selectors by WhatsApp?
Yeah. Sometimes the coach will say hi, morning, whatever the case is, but, you know, we had an incident last year in Celtics where we were chasing 240 and 40 overs.
Right.
I was batting in the middle, and I realized, look, if I get out here, we're going to lose the game because there are a few younger players to bat. It's difficult to get 140 runs in 15 overs, so I called the game off. Why is he? So I didn't know that he left the ground. He went to the hotel, called the chairman, called the president, and get rid of me that same game.
To get rid of you that same game?
The next day, I found out all this information, and he couldn't look me in my face and ask me questions. So I had to call the chairman or the president and ask him what is going on, why the coach wants to get rid of me at this game.
So have you spoken to the president at all about all this, Andy Nish?
Yeah, I've spoken to them. They said everything is contract finished, but right now the dressing room players are not happy. They're not comfortable. No one is saying anything. There's young boys, so they're just going with what is in front of them.
Well, this is a very serious thing, Dr. Ford. I mean, you must have some advice for Dinesh and the Trinidad and the Tobago Cricket Association. The board, I think it is.
Well, not so much advice. I think that Dinesh has highlighted something that has permeated cricket for a while, where players after a certain age, let's say around in the 30s, if they're not actively within an international team, they become the balance that should you allow them to utilize their experience to mentor younger players, or should you just go for the younger players? And I think it's obviously a communication problem where a lot of resentment and other things occur. I mean, we have it here with our senior player, Stout. You know, there's a lot of discussions every year about his contribution and is it helping or should they move on? And I think it what Dinesh shows is that it's happening in the other territories. So maybe it's something that needs to be discussed at a higher level. And, you know, the cricket is about the players in the long run. I mean, we, the administrators, facilitate and allow the cricketers to be on show. And that's what the fans, the cricketers, are what the fans want to come out and see. So unhappy cricketers, you know, isn't good for the game. And as you mentioned, if the dressing room isn't functioning well, that could explain why we had the capitulation, which we noticed on at Kensington, which would have disappointed quite a few of us, because we do like to see a competitive game, even though we want to win, but we wouldn't have expected Trinidad to make such a low score. And also, Dinesh tends to flourish at Kensington, so that was my big surprise
that
you had such a bad game, because that's not really
it's not
what
you at all, Dinesh.
Here.
No.
No, it wasn't so.
So, Dinesh, what are you going to do about all of this? I mean, this is serious stuff.
Yeah, I can't do anything about it. The president has all the say. The last time I spoke to him, he was waiting for his contract to be over. I said, why are you waiting for a guy's contract to be over when the entire dressing room is unhappy? The guys are going to not perform as they, and then they're going to come after the season and say, we're number 5, we're number 5, we're number 6 again. Why? Because X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, we still are performing on the field because these things are modern players, but they're afraid to go and say.
Oh, that's very, very serious indeed. Well, I hope to be able to touch base with Tony Gray, that you communicate with only by WhatsApp a little bit later on in the show. You're a senior man there, and it's sad that they're not listening to you, Dinesh.
Yeah, very disrespectful. I couldn't believe the way that they're treating players at this point in time.
Okay. Have you spoken to Karen Pollard about this, or any Dwayne Bravo about this?
No, I haven't spoken to anyone. You know, it's a complete breakdown in terms of communication. One minute the coach is saying yes, invite the senior players to be on the team, they have the younger players, and then you go into a meeting and get rid of us for what reason? I have no idea.
Dinesh, there, each franchise has a number of contracted players. Would you say that the contracted players are forming the core of the team right now?
Mm-hmm.
Or have some other, are they other people that are forming a part of the team that aren't necessarily on contract? Because if you said the group has been so large, it makes me wonder how large can a franchise be?
Oh, well, the guys who have been contracted have been playing for most of the games. One of our senior bowler, Daniel Sinclair, just came back. You know, he's bowling. He came back from injury. He got dropped after this game as well. For what reason? There's no senior bowler in our attack at this moment. It's young Usman Mohammed, young, what's his
Sinclair?
Name? Serentine.
Yeah, and Sinclair,
So, who's going to lead our attack? When the pressure is there, who's going to hold one end and bowl one side of the wicket? Who's going to bat our fast bowlers?
And you've also got a relatively young captain as well.
A very young captain. So, you know, the coach keeps sending messages off the field all the time. It's like schoolboy cricket.
So hold on. So you're saying the coach sends messages onto the field to direct what should happen on the field? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. You know, last year he was shouting out all the time, you know, might make this change, make that change. The opposition team was like, why the coach is getting on like that, you know?
That's not his job at all, Dinesh.
All in all, I'm still happy, I'm living, I'm comfortable, I'm not going to fight anything.
Dinesh, how does the dynamic work, though? You have a young captain, you're a very experienced guy in cricket, you're also behind the stumps. How do you not, you have to hold yourself back not to kind of dominate the decision-making on the field, being a part of the brain trust? How does that dynamic work for you?
Yeah, so the last young captain came up to me a lot. He asked questions, you know, what we could think this would do differently, how we could go about certain batsmen. I share a lot of advice in the dressing room for the younger players. I love to keep everything for myself, you know, to help the younger players so they could better themselves. Obviously, everyone wants to play for West Indies, so that's my role, basically. And if I don't play for West Indies again, to guide these players and give them all I can so that they could benefit and go forward. But, you know, I guess the people at the higher authority or something don't see that way. And if it comes to a situation next time, I'll go and play with the next franchise, I'll go and do it.
Ooh.
But I'm sure you'd like to dedicate and help develop your franchise and do things for the Trinidad and Tobago team. That's your main goal, I would expect.
Yeah, definitely. There's so much talent. You know, the guys just need some more direction, you know, a little more hunger for the game.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the dressing room is not a good place right now. A guy coming in, play one game, gets dropped. A guy doesn't perform as well as he should. He's gone. For what reason?
At the international level now, no doubt, Dinesh, you're looking to become a permanent fixture in West Indies cricket. You're still good. You're still keeping well and making runs. You want to go on to play for another 10, 15 years, Dinesh?
Well, if I do have to play maybe 3 years, I would still like to play Test cricket, which is very important to me. That was my goal for this year, to do well in the last couple of games, 6-7 games, you know, to put something towards the selection, but that's going to happen this year again, as far as I see it. So if I do get a chance in the CPL coming up 2020, I'll have to be somewhere there and try to get myself back into the T20 setup.
And how was your experience back in the T20 version late last year?
Yeah, for me personally, it's very exciting. Young Brandon King, young Nicholas Puran, you have Evan Lewis, the powerhouse that we have in terms of our batting. The guy of like us, Kieran Pollard, that experience that he brings and he shares to the younger players, it makes a big difference. He played all over the world, and he's getting all the players to be on the right path, be more disciplined in terms of their batting, take more responsibility. So, yeah, we just need to get our bowling right at time, sitting back and playing out in India, and we get to the wicket, and they dominate. So, and if we can continue to work towards the next 8-9 months, which is for Australia, it'll be good.
You batted in various positions during that last bit in the T20 setup. What's your preferred role as a bat, as a wicketkeeper batsman in that version of the game?
For me, the most times I dominate is when I bat early, maybe 3 or number 4. Bat early, then you score 60, 70. Everyone bats around me. When you look at the powerhouses of Pollard, Russell, those guys, 6'5", 6'7", you know, who could come in and blast the ball from ball one, that's their role. So, yeah, my role, you know, whichever franchise I play for this year, keeps 20-20, you know, batting up the order will be my role to go off and get a good start and bat probably to the 15th to 20th over.
I see. Well, Dennis, we want to thank you for coming through and talking to us. I'm going to certainly give...
Eddie called 90% of the players, they'll say the same thing.
Oh, dear. All right. Well, this is serious. Thanks, Dinesh, for being forthright. And I'm sure the entire world would have heard you. And I'm sure there's going to be some reaction to what you've had to say on Mason and Guest.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much indeed for that. All right. Interesting comments. They're coming. You didn't know all this was going on, Dr. Ford?
No, I think we're all surprised and also a little disappointed that there's disharmony within a franchise and a disconnect between the coaching and selection and, you know, the administrative arms and the players. It's supposed to be a family working towards one end. So you can't get success when all the parts aren't moving together.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of their own position in this competition, they are now, what, 5th? At one stage, I think they were very close to the top, but they've now lost 2 matches, and that display against Barbados was not good at all. And now we know, in addition to the fact that they didn't do well in terms of a difficult pitch at Kensington Oval, not easy to bat on, it is pretty clear that things have not gone well at all for them. Problems in the camp in TNT.
Yeah, losing Darren Bravo would have been a big blow to them in the batting aspect and really a few contributions from De Silva and Muhammad, but you know, the bowling seems to be all Akhil Hussain and Charles. I guess they need more contributors.
To get it. All right, we're going to make a quick stop in Trinidad and Tobago. We've got Naomi Young in the studios, and it's only fair that we talk to the other guy who would have, of all the players involved in this tournament, 2 West Indians would have made that ICC team. And we want to say hello to Jaden Seals. Hello, sir, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, long time, Linda.
Good, all right. What part of Trinidad and Tobago are you from?
Cuba, Marcel, Cuba.
Oh, you're a Cuba man, all right. How did it go for you in South Africa, playing for the West Indies under 19? Young Seals?
It was good. It was a good experience learning from Naeem and all the other boys that played before. So it was good.
All right. Okay. And I understand you bowled pretty quickly. You got pretty close to 90 miles an hour. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
Mm. So that's all the crab and callaloo that you're eating there in Trinidad and Tobago? And a roti?
Yeah, roti.
Oh, you're a roti man?
Yeah.
All right. Which club do you play for in Trinidad?
Queen's Park Cricket Club.
Oh, you're Queen's Park. Why did you choose Queen's Park and maybe not Clark's Road? I mean, they always say about Clark's Road. I mean, why did you go to Queen's Park?
Well, I didn't really go to Queen's Park. They called me.
Oh, they called you? Well, they picked you out, huh?
Yes. So I just went and I played for the club and they told me I want to keep performing every day and she played for first.
Right. Talk to us about that experience in South Africa. How did you find the conditions there?
Totally different than the Caribbean. Temperature, the air was thinner. Uh-huh. Pitches were totally better, so it was good. It was a good experience.
Okay. And the pitches?
Faster, bouncier, ball carried through further than in the Caribbean, where as after the first probably 10, 15 overs, the ball would stop carrying as fast. It was good.
Mm-hmm. Were you disappointed that West Indies didn't win the championship? You had a good chance. You were in the quarterfinals against New Zealand. Were you disappointed we didn't go all the way and win it?
Yeah, we definitely disappointed, but still pleased with the effort from the boys because coming into the tournament, we weren't as competitive in the tournament.
Right. I asked Naeem, who's in the studios, what happened? What happened in that match against New Zealand? For it looked as if you would have gone on to won it. What happened?
I'm not too sure, really. Not too sure. Mm. I think there's probably pressure.
The pressure.
That's not really just executing our plans better.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're a little disappointed you didn't bowl at the end there? Because many people back in the Caribbean felt you should have maybe had another go. Were you looking forward to bowl again?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And you weren't injured at all, were you?
Pardon?
And you were not injured?
No, I wasn't injured. No.
Okay, all right. So what is the plan for you now? You're back home. What are you doing? Are you still keeping fit?
After rest pretty well, but after rest, I'm going to play club cricket and hopefully get into Trinidad senior team.
Right, okay. So because you've got, what, 5 matches left now? So are you practicing with the Trinidad and Tobago team?
When they come back home, yeah, I will be practicing with them.
Okay, have you spoken to the chairman of selectors, Mr. Tony Gray, about that? Well, has he called you?
No, the manager spoke to me.
Oh, Mr. Furlong, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And no doubt you want to go on to play for the West Indies, of course.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Who's your favorite cricketer in the West Indies on the 19 side? Is it Naeem?
Favorite cricketer. Leonardo Julian.
Okay. So Julian is in front of Young?
Yeah.
Is it because he's Trinidadian yourself?
No, because he's crazy and he's a good batsman too.
Oh, he's a good batsman. All right. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
No.
He just didn't show up.
Right. Now, I want you two gentlemen to comment on this. Bangladesh eventually won the championship. Naeem, were you surprised by that?
They're bad day, so I guess it was Indians bad day that time.
Mm. Anybody in the Bangladesh team that caught your eye?
Not really. I think Bangladesh played as a unit. I think
the unit.
They did was together and they fielded together and they fielded really well. And I think their fielding and their bowling were helping to succeed in the tournament.
Right, Jaden, were you surprised that Bangladesh went on to win it?
Was surprised, but I wanted them to win it, but I was surprised. Yeah.
Oh, so after the West Indies didn't get through, you were back in Bangladesh.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I didn't think India got a hard game, really. All the games were pretty.
Oh, I see.
They didn't really have a challenge. So I think that Bangladesh deserves to win.
Mm-hmm. Now talk to us, gentlemen. Any cricketers that you would have seen, we're going to start with you, Naeem, during the tournament that was held, that really impressed your batsmen, maybe from Australia, from New Zealand, anyone that you think perhaps could possibly go on to play Test cricket? Anyone that caught your eye?
I can't remember all, but I think Jaiswal from India, he was a pretty good batsman at the top of the year. He stabilised India's innings.
Mm-hmm.
Australia had a few good batsmen. They had a guy, McGirt, that played.
Oh, my brother, it's going to be a lonely Christmas for our brother, Leonard.
Them before the career they had to start. up. It's different with you and the boys. Stay up, stay up, stay up. Now when you're bowling.
Lonely Christmas without brother Lennon Kim.